There is an interesting scripture that Jesus, when he's speaking to the people, it says, and they would not believe. And then later it says they could not believe. I think it is possible for a person to go beyond the point of no return. It seems as though Saul went to that place. Death is pending. You'd think he would repent and at least say, God, I am so sorry for what I have done. Lord, please forgive me. But he doesn't. It seems as though he would not repent. And finally, he could not repent.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel 27 and 28.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Saul is in a real mess. And so now he's trying to seek God, but God's not answering. And then Saul said to his servant, verse 7, seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And this, and his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. Wait a minute, didn't it just say that Saul had, you know, emptied the land of these spiritists, these witches, those with familiar spirits that would call up the dead? But now they know where one is. In fact, the Bible talks about, God talks about when you enter the land, because that was very common in that pagan land. They did that all the time. It wasn't unusual. In fact, you find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where the Lord says in verse 9, when you enter the land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. And they did, Israel did. They follow that practice. As you go on, you read Kings, you find Manasseh and others did. One who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Now that is exactly what King Saul is about to do. Or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Necromancy is what they call it, calling up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And he says, for those nations, verse 14, which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. And yet Saul is going to do so. He's going to go after these false spirits, this medium. In fact, the Bible says, again, in the law in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, if one practices divination, spiritism, witchcraft, necromancy, or calling up the dead, they shall be stoned with stones. And remember what God said to Saul when he didn't destroy everything of the Amalekites and he kept the best of the cattle and he kept Agag. And Samuel came, and Saul goes out to meet him and says, oh, I've done everything you've told me to do. Samuel said, well, what is the lowing of the oxen that I hear and the bleating of the sheep. And then he goes on and says, for rebellion is as the sin of divination. Isn't that interesting? He started out in rebellion as the sin of divination, and then he ends up with a diviner, with a medium. That downward slide that Saul made, could have repented back then, but he didn't. And even with what we're going to read here, he doesn't repent. So it says, there's this medium in Endor. Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, and he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, behold, you know that Saul has done what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? And Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, there shall no punishment come upon you for this thing. Isn't it interesting? He swears by the Lord, for the Lord's sake, this shall not happen. Wait a minute, Saul, you are so backslid, you know absolutely nothing about the Lord, and you're telling this medium that you swear by the Lord that nothing will happen. Now, she doesn't know it yet who it is. He's disguised himself. But I think it's so hypocritical, using the Lord's name when it's convenient. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Then the woman saw Samuel. She cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. So apparently, it really freaked this woman out. She had a familiar spirit. We'll look at that in just a bit. But when Samuel came up, it's almost as though, if you kind of read between the lines, it's almost as though it wasn't what she expected. It wasn't what she was used to in doing this. There's a lot of deception, a lot of fraud when it comes to spiritism and calling up the dead and talking to your ancestor and stuff. A lot of that happens. But it seems as though this woman really got freaked out because, you know, it appeared to be Samuel. And then she put two and two together, and she said, oh, you're Saul. And the king said to her, verse 13, do not be afraid, but what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me, and he answers me no more, either through the prophet or by dreams. Therefore, I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? And the Lord has done according as he spoke through me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David, as you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek. So the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hand of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. So here's the big question. And here's where you have controversy. And I'm not going to say that I'm able to answer the controversy. But at this point here, Saul does something that is absolutely forbidden. In fact, in the beginning of Saul's ministry, he cleaned the land of all these mediums and these spiritists. But now, because of terror that is upon Saul because of the enemy, the Philistines, because he's backslid, because he's left the Lord, and he's disobedient to the will of God. In Saul, when you look at this man Saul, there is created in him through this disobedience and through this backsliding and through everything that he's doing, he is mentally, emotionally, psychologically disconnected with reality and with spiritual things. And that's what a guilty conscience does. He's got a horrible guilty conscience. He had contempt for Samuel. Remember when he grabbed Samuel's robe and he ripped it? Samuel turned and said, "So God will rip the kingdom out of your hand." Samuel left, never saw him again. I mean, well, after that, he went with him for a time, but never saw him again. And then the slaughter, when Saul had the 85 priests slaughtered, his persecution of David, his provoking God to forsake him, he had a horrible guilty conscience, and he covered it with all this disconnect with reality and all that he's doing here. And now we see him trying to discern and find out what is God's will by having this medium bring up Saul, bring up Samuel from the dead. The question is, was it really Samuel? Or was it a demon impersonating Samuel? Well, the pure reading of it seems like it does say Samuel. It's Samuel. It doesn't say a demon impersonating Samuel. It doesn't say that. But you have commentators, J. Vernon McGee, he refuses to believe this is Samuel. He says it's a demonic spirit imitating Samuel. Then you have Chuck Smith, John MacArthur, you have others that believe it's literally Samuel. But you see, what spiritists do, and some of those that are mediums, what they do now is they point to this scripture to justify what they do. So the question is, was it a demonic spirit mimicking and impersonating Samuel? Or was it Samuel himself? Well, a couple things here. Remember when Jesus told the story of Lazarus and the rich man? And Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom or paradise, and the rich man went to torment. And then there's a dialogue across that great chasm. One couldn't come over to the other. And finally, the rich man said, "Send back Lazarus, tell my brothers about this horrible place." But you see, there was a refusal to send the dead back to the living. So that's one reason, that's one case that they say. Also, when you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, it says that Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord. He did not inquire of the Lord, therefore the Lord killed him and gave the kingdom to David. So wait a minute, if he didn't inquire of the Lord, but then it seems like Samuel representing the Lord and telling him all this stuff, it does seem like Samuel representing the Lord then told him this stuff. So, but it says that he did not inquire of the Lord. So again, another case for that demonic spirit. Another idea is, remember when God is judging Ahab, King Ahab, in his rebellion against God. And God takes counsel with the spirits, angels. And one said, "I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his false prophets." And God said, "You are to entice him and prevail. Go, do it." So in other words, there are angels, fallen, or actually God's angels, that do God's will and God's bidding. But this woman, and this woman, I might say not but this woman, but this woman did have a familiar spirit. And I believe that she probably was, with what she did, controlled by demonic spirits, much like that woman that followed Paul. Remember in Paul and Silas in Philippi, who are making their masters much profit by being able to, you know, discern, and then Paul cast the demon out of that woman. So demons can control people. And so this woman, having a familiar spirit, maybe being controlled by a demonic spirit, really brings up some spirit that is impersonating Samuel, I'm sorry. And basically doesn't tell him too much that's new, tells him everything that we've already find in Scripture that Samuel already said. The only thing new is said, you're going to die. You and your sons are going to die in battle. You're going to join me here in Sheol. Sheol was that was the place of the departed spirits. So, possibly. But if it was Samuel himself, and I'll let you make that decision. Again, you have on both sides, you have good men of God. If it was, because that is really the reading of it, you know, Samuel came up and spoke. It was something very unique that God allowed, and God allowed this, never allowed it again. You don't see it anymore in Scripture, this happening. The only time you see something like that happening is when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and the Bible says, and there were saints that were also resurrected and walking around Jerusalem. So it can be something that is a demonic imitation of Samuel, or it can be Samuel himself, which was very unique, but it would seem contrary to what God said about, you know, going to mediums, to necromancy, to draw up the dead, you know, to speak to the living. I know that I grew up in a household where, you know, into a lot of spiritism and stuff, and my mom used to have seances at her house, and she wanted me to join her once. I obviously wasn't a Christian, and I did. She had probably 15 people there, 20 people there in Salt Lake over here. We were around. We went through all the gyrations of lights down and holding hands and calling the spirits and stuff. And I thought that I had something, and I started to describe something and say some things by, you know, somebody that was supposedly somebody's relative or something. And then somebody spoke up, that's for me. That's my blah, blah, blah. I didn't really take it to heart. I didn't, you know, I just thought, you know, I don't know. I just didn't think. And then after that, you know, again, that was not something I did. I was kind of into the New Age and hypnotism. You know, I try to hypnotize myself and all the gurus and the yoga, you know, and the breathing and stuff would bring some kind of spiritual high, and somehow kind of reaching out to the cosmos to get it. And so all that strange, weird stuff. But then when I was born again, became a Christian, I look back on all that and I see how deceptive that was. I didn't think anything of it, but it was almost as though the spirits were drawing you in, demonic spirits drawing you in. And so there's very much a reality to that. And I can remember using a Ouija board with a friend and spelling out the next winner of I'm not sure if it was the Duke contest or one contest, and sure enough, that person won. Just weird stuff, you know, that happens. There are demonic spirits. You don't want to mess with that. You don't want to go there and just, you know, it's not a parlor game. You know, you could be drawn in like a parlor game, but there are people that are literally demon-possessed because of that. They've opened their lives to those spirits, and very likely this woman was demon-possessed in doing this. So Saul himself, or demonic spirit, Samuel himself that came up, or demonic spirit imitating Samuel? Well, I'll leave that to you. I just have to say, I'm not exactly sure, but demons can do anything. You know, I don't want to say that a demon couldn't do that. But it does, if you read the text literally, it looks as though it was Samuel himself. So leave that there. Let's end off. Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food at all day and night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way." Now, not just a piece of bread, we'll see, but as a full meal. But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it, and she took 4 flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it, and she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night. So apparently Saul even was fasting, wasn't eating anything, to almost, hoping that, this medium would, bring answers to him. And so he's very committed, but committed in the wrong way. And it's so sad that there's no repentance. He falls on the ground, but no repentance. There is an interesting scripture that Jesus, when he's speaking to the people in John chapter 12, you can find it in verse 37. As he's teaching the people, it says, "And they would not believe." And then 2 verses later, in verse 39, it says, "They could not believe." I think it is possible for a person to go beyond the point of no return. It seems as though Saul went to that place. You'd think with all this, and death is pending, you'd think he would repent and at least say, "God, I am so sorry for what I have done. Lord, please forgive me." But he doesn't. It seems as though he would not repent. And finally, he could not repent.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 27 and 28. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 29 through 31. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.